Greetings from the Christian Worship Hour. I'm Mike Salem. Today we are observing the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church. For years, CWH has chosen a country or nation each week where our brothers and sisters in Christ are enduring significant hard times because of their religious beliefs. We honor this day as they worship God and faithfully witness for Christ. Jesus said in Matthew 5:10 through 12, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So, today we send all those in persecuted nations our love and prayers. The Lord has given us the privilege of helping advance His kingdom through prayer. Let me take a moment now to pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you protect, strengthen, and encourage born-again believers all over the world that are being persecuted because of their willingness to follow you and share the good news of the gospel. We pray for those that are in prisons in hard countries for preaching the gospel and not willing to denounce their faith in you. Father, for those that have been persecuted unto death, that are now wearing a martyr's crown, we pray for their families and loved ones that you would comfort them as you are the great comforter and have promised to never leave us or forsake us. May they take comfort in the beautiful passage in Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Amen. Today's message from my dad, Pastor Salem, will inform us that obeying Jesus may put us in the midst of the storm. Dad loved to help God's people, comfort them, pray for them, and serve them. Today we do the same. In 1979, CWH began proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the world through weekly television broadcasts. Today, we continue with Dad's timeless and relevant messages from God's Word around the globe to bring you hope and strength. We offer numerous resources written by my dad in addition to the weekly services and programs. Three resources that are filled with stories of God's Word and some of Dad's beloved sermons are available at your request by calling us, writing to us, or ordering on our website at cwh.org. In the book, Tell Me a Story, you will meet a God who cares for us, loves us, and desires to be in a relationship with us through the sacrifice of His Son, Jesus Christ. Life of the Believer is a beautiful book of Dad's sermons and is an exciting journey filled with encouragement, inspiration, and challenge taken directly from God's Word. You will be reminded of God's amazing love and His beautiful plan for those who choose to follow Him. And in his book, Jesus, you will learn more about the beautiful Savior and discover who Jesus was, what He taught, how He lived, and the sacrifice He became. Dad reminds us today in his message, when the storm clouds roll, that there will be trials in life, even when we are following and obeying Jesus. May God bless your week.
We just think of so many of people in the persecuted church that are faithful unto death, and God bless their dear families, their loved ones, and especially the little children. We think about the little children so often. So now Barb's going to sing. God bless you, Barb.
Mountains look so high from the valley, and it feels like I've been here for so long. There are days it seems I've been forgotten, but you give the strength to press on. I must confess that I've known disappointment, but somehow I'm still here and you're still God. Lord, I know you held me through each moment. I have heard your grace is enough.
So on the mountains walk with me, and in the valleys deep, remind me in the hard times I have promises to keep. As life is hard for everyone, with battles fought and lost and won, but when all is said and done, find me faithful.
Miracles don't show up without heartbreak. So if this is the cross that I must bear, I will stay the course and keep on trusting. You have proven you won't leave me there.
So on the mountains walk with me, and in the valleys deep, remind me hard times, there are promises to keep. As life is hard for everyone, with battles fought and lost and won, but when all is said and done, find me faithful. As life is hard for everyone, with battles fought and lost and won, but when all is said and done, find me faithful, find me
Thank you, Barb. God bless you. And that's the message that we want to carry all over the world, just to be faithful. You know, we can all be faithful, but sometimes it really costs. And sometimes it might be really up against some hard times. And then with the persecuted church, we know that many have been faithful unto death. And they're going to wear that martyr's crown, and we're going to see them in heaven and see those wonderful people that gave all to the Lord. And so that always encourages us, all of us, believers everywhere, because we're all part of the same family. That's our family that's suffering. That's our brothers and sisters that are suffering in different parts of the world. And so we stand together and we pray together and worship this wonderful Lord. Well, on our Christian Worship Hour, we always have letters, and we get so many nice letters, and we share some of them with you. And I really got a bad letter this last week because a lady wrote in and said she wondered if maybe we shouldn't have more letters and less sermon. And that went to the garbage can right away fast. But we will give time for the letters because I know you like them. And then we know what you're thinking and where you're at. The first one I have here is from Georgetown, Delaware. And it says, Christian Worship Hour means so much to me. Hey, have you ever been to Delaware? It is a small state. I have your film, Heart of a Shepherd. It is a wonderful film. I loaned it to a friend, and when I get it back, I'm thinking about taking it to church to show to a ladies' group, thanking you for all you do for everyone. And I have to start by saying I'm really sorry. I've never been to Delaware, but I've heard about it, and I'd love to go there. But at 97, I hardly even leave the city limits, so I'll probably just have to talk to you about Delaware when we get to heaven. But this left person writes and says that they're looking at this film, and then they're taking it to a ladies' group. Some take it to their church. They're taking it to the church. And so you can spread this wonderful film. And if you need extra copies, let us know. And we'll be glad to send you as many as you need. And you spread the word, the good news of the gospel. That's what makes that film so wonderful, is it's down to earth. It's so that the children can understand. And it talks about taking Jesus into your heart. You have to have Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you really don't have anything. Here's Lowry City, Missouri. I'd love to have two Heart of a Shepherd videos. I don't have much money, but soon as I do, I'll send an offering. I'll give one to the lady who is to a lady who is very lonely. Isn't that beautiful? And she's going to be blessed by this film, but I'll tell you why she is. Because it's filled with the Word of God, filled with the promises of God. That's where the power is. And so here she has a friend that's lonely. And so if you want to give some to friends and you don't have enough money, you just write and let us know. We'll send them free and postpaid. And you say, well, how in the world can you do that? Won't you go broke? No, we won't go broke because it's God's work. And you know, we'll get a letter every once in a while and somebody will send maybe several hundred dollars. And they'll say, use this to send to people who are in prison, those who don't have money, people are on Social Security and don't have money. If anybody is low and they can't get this film, send it to them. We get a lot of gifts that way. And so we can say, if you don't have, it's a free will offering basis that you give, but you don't have a nickel, you write to us, get a postage stamp, and you'll get the wonderful film, The Heart of a Shepherd. Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this one writes, and we got a lot of letters this week about the Heart of the Shepherd because it's just getting out now and it's blessing a lot of people. And so they write from Minneapolis, I so enjoyed the film Heart of a Shepherd. I passed it on to Bible studies, movie night out, and many friends. What a beautiful story. And it is beautiful because it's about Jesus. It's about a little 10-year-old boy prays to accept Jesus. And children can do that, and you show it to your children. And then right here now, we're coming toward Christmas, and just very shortly now. And you could give these as gifts, and give it to the children. Let the children hear it, and they'll understand. They could come to know the Lord. And then let's see, what do we have? Houston, Texas. I recently mailed Heart of a Shepherd to a retirement home in Friendswood, Texas. After I watched it, of course. When movie time comes around, they certainly will be blessed. And thinking people are getting it and they're looking at it and they're sending it to other people. Just spread the word. You can be a missionary for the Lord when you spread out the good news of the gospel. And I'm going to tell you something about this film. Talks about Jesus and how to accept Jesus. And you said, sometimes you're saying, well, I'd like to accept Jesus and I don't know what to do. And what you need to do is just in your own words, and you just say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sins. And I just ask you to please come into my heart and wash away my sins. And I'll forsake them the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. I had a man pray that. He had cancer in the brain, and he was in bad condition. As a matter of fact, he's with the Lord now. He'd never accepted Jesus, and I talked to him about this, and he prayed this prayer in his own words, and he didn't say amen. He said goodbye. Well, that's fine. Just be yourself. But the main thing is you have to open your heart to the Lord. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abides on him. Why does God's wrath abide on him? Because you rejected Jesus. And that's the only place to go. If you don't go to Jesus, you're going to go to the devil. And so just make that prayer in your own words. And the Lord will he'll help you and he'll save you. Well, let's see. Billings, Montana. This is a nice letter. This is a grandmother, I think, that's writing. And she says, I don't have a lot. Billings, Montana. I don't have a lot of money. I'll try to send more later. I'd like to send your Heart of a Shepherd to my five children. Please send them to me so I want to send them on for Christmas. My prayer for them is Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27. I'm praying they will watch your film and be saved. And what is Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27? Ezekiel writes, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." That's exactly it. We want them. That heart may be hard. Maybe with children it won't be hard. It'll be soft and tender. But maybe you're old in years and I always say I'm mutt in a rut. And it's not easy to change, but you can change. You ought to change. And she's praying, I just hear that their heart will change. It's all the heart, it's not the head. It's not what you got in your head. It's what you've got in your heart. And that's why Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, talking of the heart. I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come in, sup with him, fellowship with him. That's a great prayer and a great, great mission. And she's sending it to all of her children. It's going to be a Christmas present. What better Christmas present could you ever give? And we send it out on a free will offering basis. And when you make a gift to us, we'll use that toward the proclamation of the gospel, and you send that gift. As a matter of fact, it has a value of $10, a trade value of $10, to give you an idea. But you just send it to the Christian Worship Hour, and we'll send you the gift. And if you don't have any, you send it, and we'll help you out anyway. Aurora, Missouri, I do get my Bible ready, a pad of paper, and a pen to take notes. I do fix a cup of tea, but have no time for a nap. I'm glad she put that in. Just thought I'd throw that in. Love you all. You are my church home. And I want to tell you something else we do. We send out a little paper every week, every month. It's called The New Song. And it's a little Bible study. And this month of November, talking about a Bible study about Paul's Be Thankful list. What did he put on his thankful list? And maybe you could say, well, I'm going to make a list of my own. And then I'm going to write into the Christian Worship Hour, and I'm going to get that new song. I'll give you the address in just a few minutes. And it's a little Bible study. We also have all our scriptures for the sermons that we're going to preach that month. It's just a wonderful little paper, and it's free charge. We really ought to charge something for it. Well, we are so good-hearted, we just send it free. Put you on our mailing list, and who knows, maybe you'll make a contribution later on. Whatever the Lord does, however he leads. One more letter. Burley, Idaho. I'm a grandma, and I live in a senior complex. Listen to what she's doing. I want to show my friends the path to Jesus, but I'm having trouble finding the right words. Ever happened to you? You got a neighbor, or you're part of your family, or you got a friend, and you don't know if they know Jesus. Maybe they don't know Jesus. And you want to talk to them, but you don't know exactly how to do it. It isn't easy, never easy. And so you take this film and say, I want to give you a gift. Or well, just listen to this. Or this has been a blessing to me. Or here's this old guy in here. He's 97 years old. And see, look at him, what he's doing. See if he can stand up by himself or something like that. See, get their interest. And then you watch that. But this lady has it exact right. She says, I'm having trouble finding the right words. That's where this wonderful heart of a shepherd comes in. You give them that, and the words are there, and the pictures are there. So we need to have your help, and if you'd like to get this film, you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to, you can get us on christianworshiphour.com. And then you say, I'd like to have the new song. and we'll send you that little Bible study. They use this in Sunday schools. They use it in prisons, and a lot of people use it at home, have their little Bible study. And every month it's a different Bible study. I just know that you'll like it. And so you write for that. And then in the meantime, you need to help us with us financially, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. The Christian Worship Hour isn't underwritten by any organization or denomination or corporation or anything like that. It's just God's people. And that's what James says. You have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, they will think you got plenty. They won't send anything. But if they know that you're dirt poor and you're just, you know, like the dentist, he lives from hand to mouth, well, that's just the way we are. Just from, you know, one step to the next step, but we can make it. And for 38 years, we are now on our 40th year, coming to our 40th year. God has never failed us once. And so you need to help us. And you write to us again. Let me give it again, especially for you shortwave people. You don't have a screen. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And I know what some of you are saying. What if we send him money and he goes and he spends it on himself? What if he gets a sports car? You know, 97 years old with a sports car. Wouldn't that be great? But you don't need to worry about that, because we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, every penny we get, every penny we give, and it's all above board. So it's up to you to help us. So just pray and say, Dear Jesus, should I help the Christian Worship Hour? Is this something I need to support? And if he says yes, then you say, How much? And then you say, That much? Or I don't know what you'll say. But he says that you just ask him, and you give as the Lord leads. So I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and then you give as the Lord leads, and everything will be just fine. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for those over the years that have supported this work. Thank you for those today who will also be helping us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. God bless you, and thank you for your ministry of music. We're reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. You can turn to chapter 6, and I know we have people write in, and they get all dressed up for church, and some of them have neighbors come over, and some people have living next door. Maybe they're in an apartment house. Several of them get together, and they have their Bibles, and they look up the scripture. And that they're going to church and they're worshiping Jesus. And we're just mindful of you, every one of you, and we're so glad that you're with us. We just thank you for joining us. John chapter 6, beginning with the 15th verse. And Jesus has just been performing some miracles. He's been feeding the 5,000. And now he's going to disperse them and tell his disciples, get in this little boat and cross the Sea of Galilee and go to the other side. And while you do that, I'm going on the mountain to pray. And so this is what happens. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. And drawing nigh unto the ship, they were afraid. And he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was of the land whither they went. In our prayer today, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in North Korea. So, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful story of the ship out in the Sea of Galilee and it's about to go down. They're in a storm, and there you are walking on the water, and you're bringing peace and comfort and help. And we think, dear Lord, of so many of your people today who are out in that storm, and it looks like that boat is going to go down, and yet they looked to you, and there you are. Never leave them or forsake them. So we pray for our brothers and sisters all over the world, but especially in North Korea, Lord, that you'll help them to know that we pray for them and that you do know and you do see and that there's a purpose and a reason for all of the hardships of life. And they may be called upon to give their lives, and won't they join them, the prophets of the Old Testament and so many down through the years, and they join a great host of people going to wear the martyr's crown. And so bless them, encourage them in this service. And then, dear Lord, we just want to pray for those who don't know you. They don't know, they've never accepted you. Maybe they never had that opportunity, and now today we're telling them, whosoever will call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so I pray that many will open their heart to you today, and that you will bless others and give them guidance and direction. And may the end result be that Jesus Christ is honored, that God is glorified. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. And before the sermon, Melissa is going to sing Amazing Grace. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. We first begun.
Thank you, Melissa. Did you know that Christianity is the only religion in the world that has grace? And grace simply means unmerited favor. We didn't deserve it, but he blessed us anyway. What we really deserved was hell, because we always blame Adam for his sin, but brother and sister, we got enough sins of our own, and that put us in a place of torment. And so out of his grace and his love, he came and he took our sins and he paid that sins on the old rugged cross. And he gave his life, and the third day was raised from the dead. And he ascended into heaven, and he's going to come again. This same Jesus is going to come again. And that's why I love to preach. Because I can tell you, I don't care what your sin is. And the one I hear a lot of is, I knew it was wrong and I did it anyway, so God's going to never forgive me. We've all done that, I think. I know I have. And so you just remember the grace of God, and he'll forgive you for your sins. And I just think of that every time I hear that wonderful song about grace. But we're thinking about the persecuted church today, and God gives them grace for hard times, believe me. And they go through some deep waters and some awful times. They go through some storms. And that's what I entitled my sermon, When the Storm Clouds Roll. And they're going to come. And it comes in the Gospel of John. It's also in Matthew. Jesus has been in the wilderness, and he's been teaching. And 5,000 come, and he feeds them. And so then he commands his disciples to get into a boat and go to the other side after it disperses the people and all. And then he goes on the mountain to pray. Matthew talks about it, and he puts it like this. He says, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go to the before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. He constrained them. That's a hard word. They didn't want to go. And why didn't they want to go? John tells us. They wanted to make him king right there. If he could feed 5,000 people, that's the man to have as king. That's the one to have as king. And so they want him to be a king. But Jesus isn't going to have any part of it. He didn't come to feed the people, the multitudes. He came to die on a cross to pay for our sins. And he kept always says, mine hour has not yet come. Mine hour has not yet come. All of it says, my hour is here. It's the cross. Go on to the cross. And he died on the cross. So he constrained. He told them to go. So the disciples are obedient. And they move out from the shore to cross over. But before you can say cross over, there's a wind that comes on them in full fury. And they're told like the Sea of Galilee. And I've seen that sea. And it has mountains on different sides. And then it has one kind of mountains. There's a break in them. It's like a funnel. And sometimes a storm will come up and all the fierce it comes right through that funnel and goes on that Sea of Galilee. So it can be a terrible tempest on that little sea in no time. And in this case, they thought the ship was going to go under sea. So the quiet, peaceful voyage becomes a nightmare because there's a fierce storm comes. They get in the ship and they're going to go over like Jesus told them. Jesus going up into the mountain to be alone to pray. And so they start out and this fierce storm comes and they're in the middle of it. You know, friends, that happens so often in life, doesn't it? We begin the day with peace and tranquility, but before evening, the storm is upon us and we're in the middle of it. Didn't take long and there it was. The morning was so beautiful, but that's day we lose our job, or we diagnosed with cancer, or maybe a spouse wants to call it quits, or the police call and they have our child. The beautiful day, all of a sudden, they're in the middle of a storm, and you don't know which way to turn. You don't know how to feel. Yes, that happens so often in life, and that's why we ought to pray every morning. Pray in the morning. Don't wait till tonight. Go get up a little early. Pray in the morning. And that's why we need to stay close to Jesus. And we stay close to him, not so that the storm won't come, because the storm will come. But we stay close to him because when it hits, we want to be near to Jesus. And he'll help us through. Friend, friendress, remember this. Mark it down and don't forget it. Obeying Jesus may put you in the midst of the storm. Jesus warned us, he said in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There are going to be storms in life. Even when we're following Jesus, when we're obeying his command, we are following. Friend, listen, we can be in the will of God and still be in the tempest, still be in the storm. Have you ever read the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews? I know you have. It's called the Faith Hall of Fame. It lists the people of tremendous faith, people that served as our examples. And so look at this glorious things that happened to these people who had great faith. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, Noah prayed in an ark to the saving of his house, built an ark to the saving of his house. By Abraham, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. And by faith, Moses, who chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. By faith, Israel passed through the Red Sea on dry land. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. By faith, Rahab didn't perish with the unbelievers of Jericho, but was saved by the red tag, the red rope out the window of the by her little house. By faith, they subdued kingdoms. By faith, they wrought righteousness. By faith, they obtained promises. By faith, they stopped the mouths of lions. By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. By faith, they escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, women received their dead raised to life. How absolutely beautiful, wonderful. Praise God. But we've only read the part of the chapter. We're to verse 36, 35. Let's read 36 and listen to this when we read verse 36. It's the same Bible. It's the same time. It's the same book. It's the same chapter. It's the same people. It's the same God. It's the same faith. The exact verse 35, now verse 36. Let me read it. Some were tortured. Some were mocked. Some were scourged. Some were stoned, some were sawn asunder, some were slain with a sword, some wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, some lived in caves, some were destitute, some were afflicted, some were tormented. Now then, you people, who they love the Lord just as much as the people in the first part of the chapter. They are great people of faith, but they're in the middle of a storm. So how'd you figure that out, you health and welfare people? It knocks it in the head, dead on a mackerel. The same people, the same chapter, the Hebrew people. The answer to it all is that sometimes God leads us in the sunshine and sometimes God leads us in the storm. He leads us as he sees best. Here's St. Peter, he's in prison, he's delivered. Here's St. Paul, he's in prison, he's beheaded. And all we can say is let God be God. God Almighty. He has a reason for his actions. And they're always going to be for the glory of God. Don't forget it. So the book of Hebrews is telling us in no uncertain terms, faith or no faith, we're going to have storms in this life. Sometimes it comes to us as individuals. And sometimes it comes to us as a church, as a body of believers. For instance, consider the church at Smyrna. And unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, he says. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. For none of these things which thou shalt suffer, behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 2, verses 8 to 11. That's the first century church. And that's what they're up against, and that's what they're facing, and that's what they're facing today. You don't have to go back 2,000 years to Smyrna. And Smyrna was only a little church. It was about 50 AD or AD 60, something like that. Hardly been going, and the tempest came upon them, but they stood true. But don't worry about those 2,000 years ago. You don't have to go back to 2,000 years. Let's go back to, say, just 3 years. Let's go back to August 15th, 2015, to a little village in India. And there is a late night knock on Pastor Harmon and his wife Ashna's door. And they open the door and they're faced with a band of radical Hindus. Four times these guerrilla bands have been there and warned the pastor to stop sharing the gospel in a Hindu village. Stop preaching the gospel. Renounce the faith. Have never speak to these people. And you tell them that you do not believe in Jesus Christ. You renounce Christ or get out of town. But he wouldn't do it. Four times they came. And now this time they came. And it's night, it's late at night. And it's a little different, it's a lot different. The radical Hindus were there and they had AK-47 rifles. And they took Pastor Harmon captive into a nearby forest and shot him to death. And his wife Ashna said her husband always gave the same reply when they asked him to leave his Christian faith and stop sharing the gospel. He told them, I'm not going to leave my Jesus. I have a faith in him. He's a real God, so I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to come back off my faith. Whatever you want to do to me, you can kill me. I'm not going to leave my faith. And so the family buried their beloved son and husband and father and put him in a grave because he was a man who he said he wanted to live and love people like Jesus did. That's what he wanted to do, just to love those people and bring them to Jesus Christ. Ashna still cries at the thought of her husband's death these 3 years later. And although she knows where he is now, she remains devastated that he is not with her. I'm happy that my husband was a good man and he died for Christ, she said, sobbing. He is in heaven. I'm happy with that. I cannot lose the faith. I am still faithful. God forgive them. I forgive the person who did all of this. The persecuted church is with us today, right now. It well could be happening that while we're preaching this service, there are some people being put to death. And I always think of the little children. Maybe they see their dad put to death. They've surely seen his funeral. They maybe don't know where their mother is, and if she's there, she's just all by herself, and how she supplied those children. And I think of those children, how Jesus loved the children. We were talking about the angels, had a sermon about the angels not long ago, and it says that the angels do view their faces in their minds. The angels don't marry. The angels don't have children. But these angels, the angels of God, are interested in the children, the little children, and they love them, and they care for them, and they watch over them and keep them safe. And so here it is. This woman is giving up her husband, breaking with a heart, breaking, and doesn't know which way to turn. That's the way the internet, that's the way the church is today, the persecuted church. So Hebrews chapter 11 spells it all out in this wilderness journey. The church is going to have troubles and trials, just sure as the world. There's going to be storms, and Satan is never going to give up. He's never going to stop attacking the church of Jesus Christ. And do you know what? Storms are not all bad. Storms are not all bad because they make us grow. They strengthen our faith. They keep us humble. They draw us together and draw us closer to one another. They draw us closer to God. They teach us valuable lessons of life. They allow us to bring glory to God. That's a wonderful thing out of a storm, to honor God. No, storms are not bad and wicked at all. So the disciples are in the storm big time, just as a persecuted church is in the storm today. And from that, the disciples teach us something. They never turned back. They never turned back, and they never gave up. They could have turned around. They could have gone with the wind, and they would have been at the shore before you could say bulrushes. They would have been saved. But no, sir, that never crossed their mind. Jesus said, row over to the other side. That's all they heard. That's all the understanding they had. That's all they had on their compass. There was only one direction, and all hell can't beat them or stop them. They will never turn back. And that's the kind of followers that God needs today in America and in all the nations of the world. Those who will never turn back. Friend of mine, listen to me if you're a Christian and you're going through the hard times and the terrible times and the suffering days. Just I'm going to tell you, never give up. Never stop rowing. The storm may be fierce, but we are to row on, to carry on. Don't let anything stop you. Don't let the storm deter you. Row on and on and on. We can all be faithful. We can't all be famous. And we can't all be rich. And we can't all be good looking. But we can all be faithful. The poorest of us. The most illiterate of us. The one that the weakest can be faithful. And that's what the persecuted church is doing right now. While we're preaching, they're being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the disciples. All they could do was to row or turn back. And so they were made a better stock than that. And they rowed on. It looked hopeless. It looked as though they couldn't win. It looked as they were going to go down. But nevertheless, they stayed at their post. They remained obedient to their master. They kept rowing. But where is Jesus all of this time, as far as they know? He's up there on that mountain praying for them. They didn't know where he was. Nowhere to be seen. They knew that. They couldn't see him. They couldn't feel him. They couldn't touch him. Where's Jesus in this middle of this storm? And just as they were about to abandon all of their hope, they see something. They see something walking on the water. And they were afraid of the storm, but they were now had a new fear. They were afraid of this spook or this ghost or this apparition. What is it? They'd never seen anybody walking on the water. And that something came that came by. And then this Lord Jesus has. He calls out to them. It is I, be not afraid. Isn't that just like Jesus? He puts their hearts to rest. He doesn't want to see them shaking in their boots. He wants to see them standing true to him. Jesus doesn't want any of his people to be afraid. And oh, we get letters from so many people, and they're having troubles and trials, maybe with the children. Maybe they lost their spouse. Maybe they lost a loved one. Maybe they have cancer. There's no end to it. And when we get those letters, we pray for those people and our heart goes out to them and they're in the middle of this storm. But Jesus is telling us when you're in the storm clouds and the storm clouds roll, don't you suffer, don't you worry, don't you fret. You lean on me. Just remember Jesus is telling us, take heart, take heart. He's telling us move on. He's telling us never give up. He's telling us shine for Jesus. He's never far away. He is just with us in everlasting love, this wonderful, wonderful Jesus. And oh, you need to have him. You need to have him in your heart. And this Jesus walks with them, and he talks with them, and he helps them, and they go to the other shore, and they're safe. So what do we take from this sermon? What do we take from this story? Well, first of all, there are multitudes that follow Jesus even unto death all over the world. It isn't not some new thing. It isn't the prophets of the Old Testament. It's the saints of the present day. And they are dying for Jesus. And we say, they say, more are being persecuted for Christ now than ever before. They have answered the call that he gave, and they're out there. And he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. A cross talks about death. It's not a lazy boy rocker. The church could have taken so different things for death, for Christianity. They could have taken the boat from which he preached. They could have taken the bread that he fed them. They could have taken the cradle in which he was born. They could have taken 100 different things. But what did they choose? They chose the cross. And when you want a symbol for Christianity, that old rugged cross on which the Savior died. And Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. I'm dying to the old self, and my new self is all for Jesus Christ. That's what he's doing. They have asked him to come into their life, and I want to stop this very second and say, if you don't have Jesus, you'll never make it through the storm. You'll be a nervous wreck. They may take your life. I don't know what you'll do. You have to have Jesus, and you have Jesus. He says he's not willing that any should perish. He says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And you say, I don't know how to receive Jesus. How do I receive Jesus? You just tell him you're a sinner. He knows it, but he wants you to confess it. I'm Jesus, I'm a sinner. And I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll forsake him. He taught repentance. Repentance means turning. Turn from your sins. I'll turn from my sins. And I'll follow you all my life. Thank you, Jesus. And maybe you're somebody, you are a Christian, you drifted away. You ought to come back to Jesus today. And if you do, he'll have his arms wide open. Come back to Jesus. And all have drifted. Come back home. So we hear again about this wonderful Jesus, and they're just like this Christ. They're just like this Pastor Harmon. As they were threatening him and standing at his door that night, that dark night with all those guns, and the look of hatred and murder in their eyes, he declares, I'm not going to leave my Jesus. I have faith in him. He's the real God. I'm not going to leave. I'm not to be going back on my faith. Whatever you want to do to me, you can kill me. I'm not going to leave my faith. That's where the persecuted church stands today. And there, by the grace of God, may we all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. And we pray that you'll help us, all of us, to open our hearts and to follow you. And no matter which way the wind blows, we know you'll be with us and you'll see us through. Thank you, dear Jesus. Amen. Now, if you've asked the Lord into your heart and you want some literature, you write to us. We're at the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want to send a gift, then I hope you do, because we have to pay our way just like anybody else. And we wouldn't have it that way. Jesus doesn't need to be begging anybody. We're not going to the world asking for help. We're going to God's people. And you're the ones that need to help us. And so you pray about it. And then you write to us, the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And if you want that little booklet, the new song, you write to that address. If you want to get these films, now Christmas is coming up. What better time to send these out, to give these out as gifts? They come in a little box, a beautiful box. It's got a little boy with a sheep on it. And it's just beautiful. Give them to children. Give them to everybody. Give them to the lonely people and the shut-ins. And God can speak through that to the saving grace of Christ. So we're counting on your help. And now I want to pray for the shut-ins. Dear Lord, I pray for the shut-ins. I pray for the persecuted church. We're praying today for the children, the little children, and that they may come to know Jesus and see this film and open their heart to the Savior. Well, Lord, we're praying for those who lost loved ones. We're praying for the young people. They don't know what to do in life and what are they going to do and how should they live and what occupation should they take and who should they marry. And they have big things, and so help them to have Jesus in their heart, and you'll help them in their decisions. You'll give them wisdom and strength. Dear Lord, we just pray for those, all those who have special needs, but especially the persecuted church. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I just do want to thank all of you for standing by over the years. You know, we're in our 40th year, going on our 40th year. But we need to have your help. And I think I forgot to say something, and that's really important. You can go to the ChristianWorshipHour.com and you can send a gift from anywhere. We got a gift just this last week, I think, from Philippines. And you can just say, you can put your currency in it. We'll get an American currency and we'll pay our bills and we'll go on our way rejoicing. So just stand by, and whatever you do, pray. Pray hard. And as I always say, remember, God loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And I sure love you. And I wish I could preach better and get through to more of you. But the Holy Spirit will do that. And so you just open your heart to Jesus. Your own way, ask Him in. And then we'll get along and we'll trust the Lord. And then we'll meet again next week, the Lord willing. And we'll all gather around the throne of grace, the throne of God, and worship that wonderful, wonderful Jesus, that beautiful, beautiful Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.